This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
The disciples, they did not wash their hands before they ate. Jesus was being questioned by the religious leaders. And everywhere Jesus went, he was in this heated debate against religious people. And they were questioning Jesus, how come your disciples aren't washing their hands like they're supposed to, with it, keeping up with the traditions? And Jesus' response is this, says, don't you understand? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. This is what he's saying here. So it says that out of the heart comes evil thoughts. That evil thought can be kind of summed up in this word here. If you really think about it, is if. I will have worth as a person if I look like the girls in the magazine. If I was big and strong, you know, I would then have worth and be okay. If I was skinnier, if I had more money, if I had more power, if I had that job position, you know, if that person just would stop talking to me that way, then I would be all right. If my kids would just respect me. And the list goes on and on. And out of that evil thought of if, it says, come murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. These are what defile you. These things lead to death. These evil thoughts that we have. And the reason this is a lie is because it's saying that currently, as I am, as a born-again son of God, as a born-again daughter of God, made as a new creation, I currently do not have worth, but I will have worth if. And that's why it's such a dangerous lie. And we experience a death when we begin chasing these things. And we experience a death on so many levels. It's a personal death of carrying an addiction. A social death where we go to jail. A relational death where we experience divorce and loss of real dear relationships. A spiritual death where we have a hard time relating and even believing in God and His love. And oftentimes a physical death as these things take their toll on us. I have a tool here that I call a trip in. It's called the trip in. And it kind of refers to these things. And the first thing here is our situation. And the idea is, like, when's the last situation that you remember that you just kind of lost it? You know, where you just kind of lost control, or you said or did something that you swore you'd never do again, but you did it again, or this thing that keeps happening. You know, for guys, oftentimes it's anger, an outburst of anger, or loss of control sexually. And oftentimes for women, it could be anxiety, food, or relationship problems. But whatever the situation is, you know, you could put whatever you want in there. And the idea is to, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to show you what the situation is. But in the situation, there's the behavior. And our actions and our behavior, like not washing our hands, is what we see. It's what we observe. We notice behavior. This is like first level of recovery. You know, when we first come into recovery, this is kind of where we're at. I need to change my behavior. I need to stop using needles, smoking crack. You know, all these behaviors that I see and observe, this is like first level recovery. My behavior. Religious people never get past behavior. They just want you to change that. And that's really all they're concerned with, is what they can see and what you see in them. But we notice this. Other people notice it. Cops notice it. They notice our behavior. Our families notice it and really want us to change. There's a term in the scripture for this. It's called fruit. It's what our lives bear as we live. So the next level of recovery then would, and I've seen this switched around different ways, and it works, you know, it's just a tool. But the next level of recovery is in the area of our emotions. And these are tough now, you know, what we're feeling. It's so interesting that I was reading a report that was saying that an emotion will actually go away in a minute and a half unless it's fed. How interesting is that? Learning to identify my feelings was the very next step in my recovery. Identifying my emotions for what they are is so important. And it's the important next step after I observe behavior and get off of that level and start looking at my emotions. My emotions are wonderful windows to see what's going on in me. Wonderful little lights on the dash flashing. They're telling me something. I need to pay attention to my emotions. By learning how to manage my emotions instead of my emotions managing me is what will keep my anger from turning into hatred. And it's what will keep my anguish and pain from going into self-pity, which can be extremely destructive. And it's what will keep my concerns turning to worry and fear going into those things. Emotions are a real big deal. Next level would be the area of my thoughts. So a lot of times it's like when you're having a lot of problems, like feelings out of control, I'm starting to slam stuff around. We do this at our house. I'll just get a piece of paper out and go over to my daughter and say, okay, give me the streaming thoughts, like a marquee going across. Just no right and wrong here. Give me streaming thoughts. You know, I can't believe you did that. You know, how on earth do you think that's okay? You know, how dare you treat me that way? Why do you think that I'm just a big nobody? You know, and we just get these streaming thoughts down on paper and start writing them down. And pretty soon you start closing in on a real important theme of what these things are telling us. These things are telling us a lot about what we believe. About what we're saying this if is. If this if thing that comes up out of us. These lies that we believe. It's so important to zero in on these things. The streaming thoughts that we're thinking. That's what feeds these feelings. To keep them from going away. You know, if you're feeling anxious all day, you can't possibly feel anxiety all day without thinking anxious thoughts. It's just impossible to do. And I'm not being lacking compassion there. I feel for people that do. But our beliefs are powerful. Our beliefs are so powerful. Michael Dye says that our beliefs are what causes wars, kills people. You know, nations are leveled over beliefs. I mean, these things are powerful. I was listening to a guy talk about a woman that he was working with, and check this out. This woman had went to her father, and her father's in the hospital, and he's a smoker, and he's got all these problems in the hospital with his smoking. And he just told her, look, daughter, I'm a smoker. You need to just accept it. I'm not going to quit. So just stop it. That's who your dad is. And she's like, okay, fine. A few weeks later, he has a stroke. And guess what? He forgets he's a smoker. Guess what he no longer did? He no longer smoked. You know, it's just amazing where these things lie in our beliefs. That he, you know, what is it that I need to forget, you know, that I am? What's holding all this stuff together that's telling me I'm these things? Our beliefs are so powerful. You know, I listened to a study. Now, this one's really crazy. But they did a group of rats, and some of you might know this. And they took these two sets of rats, nothing special about either one. And they had these college students, you know, and they told these college students, these rats are genius rats. They're hybrid. They're amazing. They're extremely smart. They had a maze and a race that they would run through, and they wanted them to coach them through the maze. And the person would coach this rat to the maze, and they would time it. And then the next set of college students, they gave them rats, and they said, these rats are idiots. They're just completely dumb. They can't teach them anything. They're just morons. And they had them do the same thing, coach these rats through this maze, and all the way across the board, the rats that were geniuses went through that maze way, way faster every time than the ones that were idiots. And there was no difference at all other than the person that was having their face towards them, having their thoughts and beliefs towards them, coaching them along the way. Like, our beliefs actually can affect someone else's experience in life. Oh, my word. You know, I just feel deep conviction of my heart of that very fact of my thoughts towards a person, a human being, in their plight and in their struggle, and coaching them along the way. What is it that I'm believing about my brother and sister that I love dearly? You know, what is it that I need to be thinking? These beliefs are conclusions that we come to. Pretty crazy stuff. A couple other things really quick. They had a group of college students, and they found that these college students, a lot of times when they began to struggle early on, they would quit. And they would just fall away from college discouraged. So they got a group of people together and said, we got to think tank this. And what they did was they took some videos of very successful college students that also had struggled at one time. And they just did little video clips. And here is Mr. Successful College Student saying, you know what? When I first came to college, this is what I experienced. I didn't think I was going to make it. I struggled really hard. It was very difficult. Everything was a mess. But you know what? I turned this corner, and I kept making it, and I made it, and things got better. And they tell their story of their struggle, and they have several clips, and they would take these struggling college students and show them these videos. The students that got to see those videos, they did better, they stayed, and they would end up prevailing because they were able to put their experience in some kind of story, that it was normal for a person to be experiencing what they were experiencing. It was okay to be where they were, and that they could, in the end, make it and be something more and succeed. And that, again, speaks so much to me. I'll just say this one more story here. My wife and I were talking about breakups and relationships. You know how people, when they get married or they start a relationship, they always think of some creative way to do it? You know, like they'll hide the ring in food, or they'll have the waiter do something, and then they propose or be, and it's all creative. They should break up the same way, don't you think? That'd be funny. Like, the guy hands her a new iPhone, you know, and it doesn't work, it's broke. You know, she's like, this isn't working. He's like, exactly. This is what I wanted you to know here. And she might cry and get upset, but she's like, you know, it was creative, you know, type thing. All right, I'll tell you this last story, and then I'll close out. Hey, by the way, we went to Friends Church this morning, and we did an awesome presentation. They were very open to recovery, and they want to see Fairbanks recover. It's just an amazing thing that's happening over there. And the group of pastors over there just love Fairbanks, love the church, and they just opened their doors wide open to us. And we were able to go in there this morning and tell our story and talk about recovery. And so, you know, my question is to some of you is, you know, what if all of a sudden we got flooded with people that needed to know how to begin? What would you tell them? You know, if you got flooded with people that had problems that they needed to face, do you know what to sit and tell them? Because we may face some of that stuff here. We want to, but we also want to be ready to do it. You know, so if people come through those doors that are hurting and wondering and they want answers, you know, we want to be equipped. And I believe that we have the best substance abuse counselors in Fairbanks right here in this room, that we can do the job if we're ready to do it. You know, we build the airport and God will land that plane right here. And that's exactly what we want to do. At the new building, we want to have morning recovery support. I want to be standing there in the mornings for even if it's one guy on his way to work that needs to stop in, check in, have some coffee, talk a bit. We want to have noon support for lunchtime people that need to have that kind of thing available. We want to have evening. We want it every single day, morning, noon, night, three stop-offs, something for everyone, especially the guy or the girl that's desperate. You know, I won't man all of those, but I want to man a lot of them, and I want to be there, and I want to stand my post. And we want people that are from underground, that are trained by us and through Genesis and other things, that know how to handle these things and are ready and poised to be available to help, you know. And that's a great, great vision, you know, I think. My last story would be this. And this is a true story, guys. This is so cool. This lady who is now a very popular psychologist, she was just entering college. She's very popular, weekends packed, you know, beautiful girl. And she looks over and there's this guy, this nerdy guy, this is her description, carrying, it looked like, every book you could possibly own, you know, in college, stacked up to here, and he's awkwardly carrying them down this hall, and she was thinking to herself, why on earth would anybody carry every book they could own on a weekend when there's the weekend to have? You know, of course, she's young and popular, and this is not her life, being a nerdy guy, and so she's thinking this. Right at that time she was thinking it, this guy comes up and trips the dude. And splat, he goes on the ground, glasses fly, books fly, and there's this guy laying, and she instantly felt love for him and lunged towards this guy and leaned down and said, listen, forget those guys. Forget those guys. Let me help you with your books. You know, where on earth are you going with all this? She helped him, picked up these books, and she ended up walking with this guy home. And they had a wonderful talk, and they became friends, real good friends. And all the way through college, this guy rose up through the ranks. And she wanted to be a psychologist, he wanted to be a doctor. And he became one of these guys, she said, that was like really good looking in glasses. And she said he had no problem with a date. You know, he was just this powerful guy, and became the class valedictorian. And on his graduation speech, he was a little nervous, telling her, I'm a little nervous. I'm going to give this speech, and this is going to be it, off to our lives. And she's like, man, you got it. Look at who you've become. You know, look at what you've done. And he got up there to do this speech, and it just blew her away. Because she said, this guy gets up there and said that when he came to college, he was so scared, and he felt so out of place. And he couldn't be more of a nerd than he was. And he couldn't be more of a loser, a zero. And everything around him was popular and full of life and colors. But his life was not. And he made a decision. I cannot bear to live this way. And he said, I am going to end my life. And he said, so my mother won't have to go and empty my locker. I'm going to do it for her. And he went to his locker and got every book he owned and was carrying it down the hallway. And on his way to the hallway, someone tripped him. And he collapsed on the floor. And he said, the kindest person entered my life and became a friend and just cared about me. And he said, she did not know she saved my life. He was going to end his life. You know, we never, ever, ever, guys, can underestimate not even one single act of kindness when it comes on us to do and to move towards somebody and to love them and do some loving act that says, hey, I'm feeling what you're feeling. And, you know, I care about you and I see you as God sees you. You're important to me and you are loved. And I am for you. I'm not against you. And we can do what God has asked us to do. And here at the Underground, I think things are going to shift. We're going to have so many opportunities. We're going to want people to do groups, change groups, and 12 steps. We want to lead people where we've been. You know, we understand what it's like to hurt so bad and to hang on while we get through another day. And we know how to do it. And I want to help other people do it. I want to be here. And when life trips this guy and he falls on his face and his glasses fly, we want to be the ones that are right there. I've got you, brother. And we'll make a difference. We will save lives. Anyway, thank you, guys. We have a wonderful month coming. I just want to tell you guys, we have a great month coming. We have some of the coolest stuff that we're going to be sharing. Really healing stuff. We want to see all of us heal and be trained up. If you're interested in becoming a leader, in doing some stuff, being trained, we can help train you to do some of this stuff, getting ready for that new building, get ready for the new responsibilities. We want to be ready. Come talk to me, and we'll sit down. We'll start going through the stuff. And we'll get a dry erase board. It's going to be awesome. I'll teach you the driest jokes you've ever heard. And you got to say it like you're surprised. No one's laughing. Like, what? That's hilarious. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for how much you love us. And you have set an amazing example of how it's done in Jesus. And we are so proud to be part of your family. And we want to bear that family resemblance. We want to bear it well. And we want to honor you. We want to serve you well. We want to do it. We want to man our post. And when we stand before you one day, we will high five. We will enter with a grand, grand reception. And we want to do it right. We want to do it well and excellent. And I pray that we would serve you in that capacity and answer the call. And let us all be healers in this room and bring someone through what we have been through. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.